thanks for tuning in to Songwriters from Here and Away. We feature songwriters from across Canada and around the world sometimes in their own voice, playing their songs. Hello and welcome to Songwriters from Here and Away. My name is Robert Campbell and we have a show today featuring only Mr. Graham Nicholas. I did a live interview with Graham above the train tracks here in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia. I think we'll play a song from his recent album and give you an idea of what he does on record, and then cut to the interview, the live interview, where he also performs live with his guitar. And we'll start out with this song, Julie Truly. Okay, we'll start into the live interview now with Graham Nicholas.
You're firing on all cylinders now.
Thanks for coming to this strange location here at the Alderney Landing.
Well, you know, folk music is for everybody, so we might as well do it in a public library.
So we're above the railroad tracks, and if a train comes by, we may have to pause.
I'll just sing a train song.
Yeah, exactly. Right on. Yeah. So you're from Campville, are you?
No, am from Toronto.
Toronto, Ontario.
Yeah, downtown Canada there.
Cool. So how long have you been here, and what are you going to do here?
Well, I've just been here about a year and a half. Yeah, kind of moved on a bit of a whim, but I had a lot of friends out this way, and I always liked the music scene and the culture, so, you know, sort of feel like I'm fitting in, I hope. I don't know. I guess that's up for everybody else to decide.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. Well, it seems like so you've got some tracks out, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. I've been.
You've got how many albums now? 18?
No, not 18. Maybe five.
Five? Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I'm not double digits yet. But yeah, I've been putting out music maybe for like 12 years or so.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good. And like, so when you're performing, you're mostly solo, are you? Or do you have a band?
Well, I got a band back in Toronto, and then I've been working on putting a band together out here. But fortunately, you know, as a touring musician, I can do it as a solo artist. So, you know, that definitely helps because I only have to pay myself and deal with, manage my expectations and not everybody else's bank accounts or expectations.
Gotcha. So a year and a half, what's your favorite part of Nova Scotia? What's your favorite thing about this place?
Well, luckily, my favorite part's the valley, which is where I live. It's like a summer's paradise out here. You know, I love being able to go to the beach every day and, you know, have bonfires at night with my friends. And but, yeah, I love the music out here, too. And so, you know, I get out a lot to see as much music as I can, because that's a big part of throwing fuel on the fire, I guess. You know, I love seeing other people play.
I love doing it too. I don't get out enough, especially the last few years.
Right. But, we won't talk about that.
No, but it really helps you guide where maybe your music wants to go sometimes. Like it shows you what you don't want to do and maybe shows you what you sometimes want to do.
Yeah.
And how you want to perform. And
I need that input to get an output.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. I love just being around that energy of people playing and having fun with music, you know? I just think it's great.
Yeah, if it ain't fun, don't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've been writing lots. How do you usually write solo or do you co-write much?
No, I've never co-written anything.
No?
I'm not sure how that would even go. Some people have like asked me and I've always been like, I've said sure, but then, you know, I kind of like shy away and avoid them.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what I would do as a co-writer.
Yeah, every co-write situation is different, whether it's two or three or more people in the room and the people and everything is different. It's always changing. And
But I try and write as much as I can. Mostly, you know, I like to always have a notebook on hand. Or, you know, my notes app on my iPhone. Because I get a lot of ideas just by listening to people.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's where all my best songs come from.
The old coffee shop eavesdropping
things. Yeah,
when
someone says something funny, I'm like, pluck that out of the air and pop it in a song.
Yeah,
I find that always makes the best songs because if I can find, like, a good brick to build the rest of the house on, then it all goes well. Yeah. But if I have to just like pull from nothing, then, you know, I get some lines out of it, but it's never as fruitful as when I sort of latch onto something that someone is.
Yeah, you got to start somewhere with a kernel of something. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to play us a tune that you've.
Sure.
Anything will do. Let's.
Sure.
Yeah.
This is off the new record. It's called Getting By With Less. And I guess when I was writing it, you know, I was right in the thick of all that stuff that we all went through the last couple of years. And I guess I was trying to think of what lesson I was learning from all this, because I feel like we should probably learn something. And I guess I realized that if I'm like forced to stay inside, or if we're all forced to stay inside and not really engage with the outside world, and we're no longer agents of action and change out there in the world, and we're just sitting in our living rooms for our whole lives, then like nothing good like forces its way into your life. Like nothing good knocks on your door and says like, this is a great opportunity. But like tragedy sort of seemed to be inevitable. Even when I was doing nothing, like bad things kept happening. And so, you know, I thought, you know, when everything comes back, it's really important to like get out as much as you can and make things happen.
Yeah.
Instead of waiting for everything to sort of come your way, because that just doesn't happen.
Right.
Anyway, that's what I was thinking about when I kind of wrote all this.
Cool.
Well, now I've been getting by with less, running out the clock, trying to catch my breath. I'm letting go, trying to forget, but these days I get by with less. Well, I'm just another dark horse bet. I'm the longest shot that you ever met. Underneath a dark cloud rain, heavy with regret, but these days I get by with less. Take an inch, try to make it my own. Find true love in a passing smile. Won't last long, just hold on for a little while. And try playing with a three-ace deck. Try to pay the rent with another bounce check. I'm trying to believe things will get better yet, but these days I get by with less.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Right on. Nice tune. Yeah.
Thanks.
So do you, when you write your tune and you get to the point where you're like 80 or 90% done, do you start like really rearranging? How do you go through the process of how you structure your tunes?
I don't go back a lot.
No?
As sort of as soon as like I like a thing, then I move on.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes like I can get stuck until I think the thing, like the line or whatever, is, it takes me a while sometimes to make sure that it's what I want it to be, and then what, so, but I never feel comfortable moving forward with the next line until I like what I've finished. So,
oh, okay, cool.
I don't really go back over things a lot.
Yeah, because some people will flesh out the tune and then they'll go back and parse it out and restructure it and redo.
I do it as I go.
Yeah,
yeah. I try not to move on until I'm happy with something. Which, I don't know. Like everybody's got a different thing.
That's the way you do it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, everybody's absolutely different.
Yeah.
And any process can come up with a really great tune.
Yeah, whatever the end result is, as long as you like the end result, maybe just don't question the process too much, I guess, or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever works.
Yeah. So you got some of the notes and notation and music theory a bit from piano kind of early on.
It's true, yeah.
And
I started trying to learn fiddle last winter.
Oh, okay.
With mixed results.
Do you have roommates?
I have neighbors, but no one has complained yet. So we'll see.
Yeah, and
they're all old, my neighbors, so maybe they're too deaf to hear it. I don't know.
Well, I'm old, and I'm starting to lose my hearing too, so I get it. Yeah, but and the bass, playing the bass is really nice because it gives you the solid understanding of the root and the principle
of the
bottom end and the timing.
Yeah,
and all that stuff, and it makes you solid, right?
That's what I think
as
too.
Player,
you learn so much about the format of structure of songs when you play the bass.
Yeah. If I wasn't a keyboard player, I'd be a bass player.
I love playing bass.
Yeah.
It feels so good. It sounds great. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, You definitely, yeah, like you said, you know, you get to learn the positions of everything better.
Right, yeah.
I think.
Yeah. And the references to each other, the chord progressions and all that stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Cool. Let's have another tune, man.
Sure.
Yeah, pick one out of the blue or whatever you feel like.
Yeah, I'll play this one. This is a song I wrote. I feel like this song kind of wears a lot of my John Prine influences on my sleeve.
Well, that's nothing wrong with John Prine.
No, he's the best. But this song I wrote based on that old nursery rhyme about the dish that falls in love and runs away with the spoon. Mm. And I was just like, I think it'd be funny to write a song about, like, you know, maybe the not so fun realities of, like, the marriage, their marriage.
Cool.
And well, just see what happened.
Yeah, let's yeah.
So, you know, I like catch up with them and their real life. They're in real life now.
Okay.
And,
gotcha.
You know, let's just see how they're doing in the form of whimsical folk song.
Okay, so what's the title of this one?
This one is called Just the Dish and the Spoon.
Okay, cool.
Don't overthink it.
No.
Well, did you hear about that dish that ran away with the spoon? They ran right off and got married, shotgun honeymoon. They got a wide-picket fence, a big swimming pool, and three beautiful children in all the best schools. But then the spoon got hungry, went looking for a bite. Found a bowl full of lovin' on a Saturday night. He left his wife and his kids back home all alone. And now the dish and the spoon, they don't talk anymore. And a hey diddle diddle went that old nursery rhyme. Hearts can be fickle most all of the time. But did you hear about that cow that jumped over the moon? She looks down from the stars just to watch the world turn. She's got a nice patch for grazing on the astral plain. She sits on the banks of that old Milky Way. Oh, and Cassiopeia, she sits up on her throne with only the stars to gaze upon. While the Big Dipper's cup, it overflows with the water that falls like a rain down below. Oh, and a hey diddle diddle went that old nursery rhyme. Human hearts can be fickle most all of the time. The cat sang her songs on the bow fiddle. Well, old love songs for lost time. And the days wore on little by little. Well, good love's the love, it's worth more than one try. The love with more.
Is that a new one that you've written in the last little while? Or?
Well, it's on the new record.
On the new record, yeah. Well, what's the title of the new album?
It's called Black Creek.
Black Creek.
I didn't put it on the last record that I made before Black Creek, and so it had just been sitting there for a while, and then I remembered it, and I was like, oh, I do really like that one.
Yeah.
So I dusted it off.
Cool.
And put it on the new album, and yeah, there's like three acoustic-y kind of stripped down tracks, and me and two acoustic guitars, an upright bass, a banjo, you know, mandolin, piano, kind of kept it really
acoustic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then some of the other tunes are more electric, full band.
Yeah, they're more like
kicking
the band, or like Tom Petty and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Hammond organs and stuff.
There's organs on there.
Yeah.
Electric guitars.
Where'd you track that?
We did it at a studio in Toronto called The Gas Station, which is just on Toronto Island. Owned and operated by a guy named Dale Morningstar.
Great name.
Yeah, great name.
That's Graham Nicholas. We are going to take a short pause. Please don't go away. We'll be right back.
KPP Concerts and CFRC 101.9 FM are turning up the heat this winter with a stacked lineup of shows. At the Broom Factory, don't miss out on Metal Fusion cellist extraordinaire Raphael Weinreth Brown on January 23rd. On February 14th, you can see local rockers Casador take the stage, while Canadian punk rockers The Flatliners are live on February 20th. And don't miss out on Daniel Romano's Outfit on March 13th, followed by Schoolhouse and Braden Lamb on March 15th. And the winter season rounds up with The Sheepdogs live at Kingston Grand Theatre on March 16th. For a complete list of shows and ticket information, visit kppconcerts.com. Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present a new single by Ethan Churchill called Big Bad Rose, a departure from the more intimate coffee house vibes of Ethan's 2022 Coffee Dates and Superstores. This single brings a raw, tongue-in-cheek rock and roll energy that just compels you to strut your stuff. And stay tuned, Ethan's new album, The Bloody Monster Club, drops January 30th. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website, or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Big Bad Rose by Ethan Churchill now on your favorite platforms, and enjoy it here with us now on CFRC 101.9 FM.
I'm floating here in the pretty sick limbo. That's a pretty sick joke. She's all in stitches and my heart's all broke. It's not funny for her to say it's sunny. Spit in my hair and make my shoes all muddy. What else would I get though? All in state.
What should you listen to make your Monday mornings that much better? Absolutely Frivolous on CFRC 101.9 FM. We play all kinds of comedy, stand-up, sketch, songs, even poetry, and the occasional interview. Mondays at 10:30 a.m. Tune in or listen to Absolutely Frivolous on our archives page on cfrc.ca.
St. Monday watches over you and me and grants the bone exhausted some liberty.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present a selection from Harmony Music Lounge's Origin Story Volume 2, a full-length album written, performed, and produced entirely by youth from Napanee and Kingston. From it, we'll listen to Gasoline by Brielle Banderson and Atlas Rossborough, a slow-burning alt-rock single that explores emotional overload, performed with grit and grace by two standout members of the youth band Sound Chamber, who were both in grade 9 at the time of recording. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Origin Story Volume 2 on your favorite platforms and enjoy a selection from it called Gasoline here with us on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Hey everyone. everyone. It's Harper, host of Phase Radio, airing on CFRC 101.9 FM every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m., where we'll lean into all our different phases. Happy, sad, anxious, angsty, angry, and excited. Tune in each week as we revisit past mistakes, explore dreamy adventures, and embrace current moods with a variety of indie rock tunes.
You're listening to Kingston's only campus community radio station, broadcasting 24/7, 365 on 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca. Tune in for the best local programming.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. It is 10:31 on Monday, January 19th. Welcome, welcome. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a comedy show. I'm not funny, but I put funny stuff on the air. It's been going for more than 20 years, and I quite enjoy myself. My name is Cindy. I'm here every Monday at 10:30. So tune in, and if you don't have time to tune in, go to cfrc.ca, go to the archives page there, you'll find it under the Listen tab, and you can check out past shows that I've done, or past shows that anyone here at CFRC has done who are on the schedule this year, or this season, or whatever. I love CFRC because there's always a changeover of shows. We have students from Queens coming in. We have community members coming in. There's shows that have been long-lasting like my own, and there's brand new shows all the time coming into play, usually at the change of season kind of thing, or the change of the year kind of thing. And it's lovely because it just makes this whole radio station very dynamic. And there's always something new, kind of like Kingston, I find. Kingston always has a new venue, a new restaurant, a new something going on. And it just makes living here and listening to CFRC so worthwhile. One of the great things about CFRC, too, is we support both Queens and Kingston area, which is really nice. Lots of information on our website, cfrc.ca. I love our news and events page, really well kept up, good events always listed. If you want to be in the know, I would go there on a daily, semi-daily basis, because it's always being updated. But we also like to support our students here at Queens. And one of the nice things is we hire students every year, both for the entire year and for just the summer, if you want a summer position. So if you are a Queens student listening, or you're someone who knows Queens students who might want to work here at the station this summer, or even starting pretty soon, we are hiring. We have what's called a SWEP position. It is a paid for with a government grant, I believe, position. And this year it's a community news and arts coordinator with CFRC. We are a not-for-profit radio station. And it's important that we keep, helping the community that we support. So we produce more than 100 active students and community volunteers, and this includes a diverse mix of music, spoken word, news, sports, cultural programming, and this stuff is not available through other local media. So we fill a niche gap for sure, no question about it. So part of the roles and responsibilities, if you become a community news and arts coordinator, you will be responsible for coordinating research and production of CFRC's weekly on-air community events and concerts calendar, maintaining our online community events and concert calendars, outreach with individuals and groups regarding news and arts-related events and initiatives on campus and in the community. You're going to run the summer live sessions, which includes interviewing different bands and setting up live performances in our studios. You can go to the Instagram at CFRC Live Sessions if you want a few examples of what we've done in the past. You'll work with CFRC staff members to recruit, train, and mentor volunteers for participation in developing local arts and news programs. You participate in editorial meetings with the CFRC news team, recording, editing, and producing content for broadcast on CFRC and in podcast format as well. So much. If you go to cfrc.ca and you'll find that there's a big ad right on the main page about student jobs here at CFRC. So that's the, let me just see if I can find out how long you have to apply for. So February 13th is the deadline. Yes, there they will be no exceptions. They won't accept late applications, that kind of thing. So please get your application in. All that information, like I said, is on the CFRC website. The other jobs are summer jobs. So they're about 5 to 10 hours per week, commencing on May 1st. And there's so many. There's a campus news reporter. There is a sports news reporter. CFRC music collections assistant, which is a pretty darn important job. I'm not going to lie. We have so much in record format, in digital format, in CD format. Oh, my God, it's crazy. We also need a production assistant, which is a really good job to have. You have a lot of fun producing top-of-the-hour station IDs and PSAs for campus and Kingston community groups. And so those, all those four positions, yeah, four positions have applications due April 15th. So get them in there. Don't wait. It's awesome to be part of this little station, and it looks so good on a resume. I can't highlight this enough. All right. But you're here to listen to comedy, not me talk about different jobs that are out there. Well, maybe you are. I don't know. I think it's kind of funny. So just like to say, I have a few comedians tonight and today, this morning. And please be aware, I have edited what I can. I bleep swear words and I sort of cut out pieces that might be offensive to people. If there's something in there that I've missed or something you find offensive, CFRC apologizes. We're not in the business of offending anyone. So we do apologize if that actually does happen. But again, comedy is very subjective. So what I might find funny, you may not find funny. So again, in advance, we apologize. But let's get started. Later on the show, there will be a little bit of Wanda Sykes. There'll be some old radio comedy sketch with Bob and Ray. But we're going to start off with Canada's favorite, Stuart McLean. And he's going to talk about grocery shopping here on Absolutely Frivolous on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Ask me about Dave and Morley. Mostly when they do, they want to know about their life beyond the radio show. I always say I think they have a pretty solid relationship, a good working arrangement. Like most couples, they've struggled from time to time over various things, like, say, household chores. Morley used to do the lion's share, but she laid down the law when she went back to work full time. And Dave, God bless him, stepped up to the plate. These days, like most liberated men, he almost does his full share. Does the weekly grocery shop, for instance. He volunteered for groceries mostly to avoid scrubbing toilets. Figured shopping for food would be, if not exciting, at least fun. And over the years, he has more or less kept it that way. He'll often go to a store where he has never been before just for fun, or buy stuff he's never bought, unfamiliar cereals, weird cuts of weird meat, little strategies to keep things interesting. One of the best ever was the time he hijacked the grocery cart. You could say stole, I suppose. Morley did. But he paid for everything, so it wasn't technically stealing. One night, he just didn't feel like shopping. So he wandered into a store, chose a cart that looked close enough to one he might have filled himself. Waited for the guy who filled it to turn his back. And when he did, Dave whisked that cart to the cash, paid for the groceries. He was in and out in under 10 minutes flat. Fastest grocery shop of his life. That was fun. Mostly it stays interesting because each time still feels like the first time to Dave. He still reads every label, goes up and down every aisle. When Dave goes grocery shopping, it can take hours. And that drives Morley batty. They do a lot of things well together, most things actually, but grocery shopping isn't one of them. So when Morley dropped Dave at the grocery store one day, and she said she was going to the hairdresser and that she'd be back in an hour, no more than an hour, and an hour was plenty of time for Dave to get what he needed, more than enough really, and that she'd meet him in the parking lot in 1 hour, no more than that, and please don't take any longer than that, Dave said, don't worry. And he meant it. Watched her drive away, and then with his heart full of love and good intentions, he headed into the store to fetch himself a shopping cart. Now, an hour wasn't a lot of time for Dave, but he was confident if he applied himself, he could do it. And then when he went to pull his grocery cart out of the train of grocery carts by the door of that store, he found it locked to the cart in front. Now, that had never happened to him before. Suddenly, he needed a quarter to unlock a cart. Well, he didn't have a quarter. He had a credit card and a debit card. But to get a shopping cart, he was going to have to go into the store and find a cash machine and withdraw $20 and then find somebody in the store to change it for him. Well, glanced at his watch nervously, that could easily take an extra 10 minutes. And that was 10 minutes Dave didn't have. It was while he was standing there staring at the locked carts, wondering what he should do, that he noticed the electric scooters. There were two of them, parked by the supermarket doors where they had been parked for years, part of the landscape, like the blue steam cleaners you could rent, or the bulletin board where you could post a note. There was a sign that explained the carts were there for the convenience of anyone who needed them. The sign was clear about this, for the convenience of our customers. Now, how great would that be, to be electric cart guy zooming down the aisles in your free scooter, instead of a schlep-around guy with a 25-cent push cart. Besides, who was it going to hurt? The store was pretty empty, and there were two carts. There'd still be one left if anyone really needed it. Dave glanced at his watch. He had already lost 7 minutes. So he made a fast tour of the store, checking up and down every aisle, making absolutely sure that there was no one there who knew him. And when he was sure that the coast was clear, he climbed onto the scooter by the door, he turned the key, he pressed the accelerator, and pretty soon he was cruising down the aisles gleefully, proud of the way that he had solved his problem. Proud of how efficiently he was drifting from one side of the aisles to the other, plucking cans off the shelves without even slowing down. And look, there was a lady at the end of the very aisle he was going down who was giving away free samples, his very favorite thing. This was his lucky day. He waved at the lady as he got closer. And then he beeped his horn. He didn't even know he had a horn. Imagine that. How great was that? He waved and he beeped and she looked up and she smiled and he slid to a stop in front of her little stand. And she handed him a sausage on a cracker with some melted goat's cheese. He ate the cracker and it was delicious. And he gave her his most winsome grin. And she handed him another cracker, and then he tooted his horn and he drove off. Horn was a nice addition. Dave liked his horn. And so for the next half hour, Dave cruised around the store, loading up his cart and tooting at the other shoppers. Each time he passed Sausage Lady, he gave her another little toot, and she gave him another little sausage. Although with diminishing enthusiasm. Soon he was ready to cash out. He glanced at his watch, Couldn't believe it. Things had gone so well. He had made it to the end of the line. He had time on his hands. There he was with the empty cereal aisle stretched out long and empty before him, and he had time to spare. So would you be surprised when I told you he looked around and he revved the motor of his little scooter and he muttered, "Let's see what this little baby can do." And he stopped on the accelerator. You might be surprised by how much pep one of those little babies have. Though not nearly as surprised as Dave was when he got near the end of the aisle and he lifted his foot from the accelerator and it didn't slow down. The throttle was jammed. Dave stomped on the brake of that little cart with terror coursing through his body, but nothing was happening. And he was pretty close to the end of the aisle. He was coming up on Sausage Lady again. Who looked up and frowned when she saw him bearing down on her that fast. Frankly, she was getting tired of his little games. Though she wasn't surprised. She had been trained to accommodate people like him. It was obvious from the first time she saw him that he had special needs. So she pumped her fist in the air, and she picked up a sausage, and she flipped it to Dave. Dave grabbed it as he flew by her, shoved it in his mouth. And then he wrenched his scooter hard to the right, and he headed back down a familiar aisle, down past the canned soups and juices, not at all sure what he should do. Could have jumped off, of course. Could have steered himself into a quiet section of the store and bailed. But then there would have been a rogue scooter wheeling down the aisles, knocking people over, bumping into shelves. And they had cameras in stores like that. They'd catch him on the camera, and Sausage Lady would step up and identify him, which, all things considered, might have been the best thing to do. Because instead of jumping off, Dave glanced at his watch again, and in the brief moment that he wasn't paying complete attention, he bumped the guy filling the lobster tank. More a nick than a bump, but enough of a nick that Dave was now flying through the store with a lobster in his lap. And that lobster was doing exactly what you or I would do under the circumstances. Looking for something to grab onto. Dave doesn't remember much after that. Morley does. How could she forget? Morley had just pulled into the parking lot when the front doors of that grocery store burst open and the electric scooter came flying out. Dave holding on for dear life, a link of sausages wrapped around his neck. He hit a speed bump. He got air. When he came to, there was a crowd of people pressing round him. Sound of a faraway siren and a Sausage Lady holding the lobster in one hand and pointing at Morley with the other. "What were you expecting?" she said sternly, "leaving a poor man like him all alone without supervision." They haven't talked about groceries since. Though Dave did help with the laundry last week and cleaned the toilet, upstairs and down, which was his way of edging towards an apology. Thank you.
Sam. CFRC 101.9 FM is so thrilled to announce the launch of our brand new accessible website at cfrc.ca. Get your local news, stream your favorite shows, and stay up to date with upcoming events. You can share news tips, book a recording studio, request a PSA for airplay, and oh so much more. CFRC.ca was made possible through the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada and our amazing funding drive donors. Thank you so much.
Did you recognize that sound? That's the sound of a healthy, well-cared-for cat. I truly hope you've been lucky enough to hear that sound before. The feral cat population around Kingston and the surrounding areas has grown considerably over the last few years. And thanks to organizations like Kendra's Community Kitties, these feral cats are being fed, medically cared for, spayed, neutered, flea-treated, dewormed, given winter shelters, and placed in loving homes whenever possible.
Hundreds of these special animals have been rescued by Kendra, and many of these wonderful felines are purring right now, safe and healthy.
Wow. By rescuing and rehoming feral cats isn't easy. It requires an enormous amount of time and effort, and there are a few ways you can help.
You can donate to Kendra's Community Kitties on their website, kckitties.com. Even a small amount will help pay for medication, spay and neutering procedures, and food and supplies to keep these felines sheltered and healthy in the cold winters or extreme heat of the summer. Because some of these kitties are not socialized, Kendra has committed herself to provide 22 dishes of food with fresh water every day, 365 days a year, to six feral colonies. Food prices have increased significantly, so donations of food and money are always needed. Funding assists with the process of finding homes for these cats as well, as it takes time and money to find the right individual or family to be matched with the right kind of cat. You can become a foster family for our feline friends. Go to kckitties.com and learn how you can care for and love a cat or even a family of kittens until they can be moved into their forever homes. At the colonies, Kendra plants the seeds of trust and socializes the feral felines when she brings them food at the same time each and every single day. So they're more accepting of humans when placed with foster families. But fostering a feral cat is no easy task. Kendra cannot take these cats from the colonies unless there are foster homes willing to commit to help these kitties gain trust with humans.
You can adopt one of these special cats or kittens. If you've already been thinking of getting a furry friend, reach out to Kendra at kckitties.com and she'll provide you with all the information you need to make this important decision.
Any help you can offer Kendra's Community Kitties will be tremendously appreciated. Not only by Kendra, but by the lucky feral felines she rescues.
And hey, maybe, just maybe, one day you'll get to hear
Panda say I love you.
We're the Brothers Landers, and you're listening to 101.9 CFRC.
Kingston.
Now it's time once again to pick up some valuable tips for you home handymen as we pay another of our regular visits to the basement workshop of Fred Falvey, the do-it-yourselfer. And Fred, I'm glad I found you at home today. When I saw all those rolled-up newspapers out in your front yard, I was afraid you might be away on vacation.
No, Ray. I rolled up all those papers and scattered them around the yard about a week ago as part of a do-it-yourself project I'm involved in.
Well, I can't imagine what it is, Fred, unless it has something to do with all the burglars you'll attract by creating the impression that you're away from home.
No, I admit having all those rolled-up papers in the yard does attract a few prowlers who think the place is deserted, but what little they steal is more than offset by the money I save from leaving papers out there until they get good and soggy.
You just leave them out there in the rain and snow or whatever until it happens again?
Yes. You see, the idea is to let nature convert the newspapers back into wood pulp. Then you can burn them in the fireplace just like logs, only the cost is much less, of course.
Well, it certainly sounds like another wonderful example of better living by doing it yourself, Fred.
I think so.
How long does it take for the natural elements to turn newspapers back into wood pulp?
Well, I'm not really sure, Ray. I read in a book where it would take about 200,000 years for paper to become converted into coal, but I'm certain changing it into wood pulp wouldn't take near that long. Well, then I suppose it could even happen within our lifetime. Oh. It'll be a real money saver if it does,
too. If it does, right.
Now I know that all our beloved friends of the radio audience are anxious to hear about the do-it-yourself project that you've chosen to describe today.
Well, today I've chosen a real money-saving project to describe for our beloved friends of the radio audience. I'm sure most of us are aware that handmade lampshades have gone up in price faster than the general cost of living.
Well, no, I wasn't aware of that, Frank.
Most people are aware of it, Ray. However, it's not generally known that do-it-yourselfers can make lovely lampshades right in the basement workshop just using some inexpensive equipment and a few simple tools.
Well, I noticed that you have some blue paper stacked up here on the workbench. Is that what you're using for your lampshade project?
Yes.
Or what?
This paper's good, sturdy 20-pound bond, Ray. Comes cut into 8.5 by 11 sheets as a rule, and the colors, these particular sheets, is blue.
So, what do you do after you've selected the color for your lampshade? Do you make some kind of a wire frame to, you know, stretch the paper across?
No, you don't have to get into all that. You just roll a sheet of paper into a sort of a paper cone, taking care to leave the small end large enough to fit around a bulb socket. And then you staple the edges of your paper together using an ordinary office stapler filled with number 5 wire staples. Here, I'll show you how it's done. Like that, and that.
Well, Fred is stapling along the edge of he's stapling along the edge of his rolled up sheet of paper. That certainly is making it stay in the conical shape you want. I don't quite know what you're going to do with it, though. What are you going to do with it now?
Well, the rest is actually easy, Ray. I just unscrew this bulb hanging down from the ceiling. Now I put my blue paper shade around the socket like this. And then as I screw the bulb back in, that holds my cone-shaped piece of paper where I want it. That's why I rolled the paper into a cone to make the shade in the first place, so the bulb would hold it in place.
I see. Well, of course, this piece of blue paper you've stapled together makes a fine shade for a naked bulb hanging down from the ceiling, but there aren't many fixtures like that around anymore. What if you want a shade for a regular lamp?
Well, you can buy those at any lampshade store, Ray. It's the ones for those old-time ceiling fixtures that are hard to locate. I went to 6 or 7 stores and couldn't find one.
Well, then you can save time as well as money by making your own, if you happen to be one of those rare individuals with an old-time ceiling fixture. So we could certainly say that this is just one more prime example of how to live better by doing it yourself. And we've been privileged to hear all about it directly from the basement workshop of Fred Falvey, the do-it-yourselfer.
Hi, I'm David Miles. You're listening to CFRC in Kingston, Ontario.
I like that, they enjoy me and they feel like they can come and talk to me, but sometimes don't. I was on a plane and this flight attendant walks up and she goes, Miss Sykes, this is Bobby. Bobby's flying by himself today. And we're going to sit him next to you. Why? Obviously, Bobby's parents don't give a fuck about him, so... What do you expect from me? Do I look like the Ann Nanny? I don't want to be bothered, man. I want to sit here and read my book, but Bobby wanted to talk. The whole flight. I put my iPod on, figured Bobby get the hint. Bobby kept talking, tapped me on my shoulder. I was like, see, this is why you're flying by yourself. Maybe you shut up every now and then. Somebody will accompany your little ass. Ain't nobody waiting for you on the other end. Thinking because my favorite show is Lost. And I was like, what if this plane goes down and it's just me and Bobby? I'ma eat them. I am. I'll eat them up. First vocal cords. I'm telling you, I tear them up. Rescue people show up like, man, what are you doing? Hey,